The Lord said this Sunday, and this is a most recent prophecy. He said, the closer you get to me, says the Spirit of Grace, and this is on the back table if you want to pick up a copy when you leave, you'll hear my heart, that all these things that I have been fashioning with you or fashioning to you and in you concerning intimacy is to bring you to a place where you catch my heart. Few generations have had my heart, which is souls, defines it for us. Oh, that I would open, that I would open your eyes and that you would see the world around you dying and going into judgment, and that you'd all the more go into the effectual place of prayer that changes the atmosphere and changes the world around you. I think perfectly, when I say perfectly, I say maturely assured that I can feel, something. And I think I could just go on and preface and say what would be easy for the mind to think, Pastor, you say this often, but in that place of intimacy, there is an assurance that we are advancing. And that we are taking ground in the Spirit. And that's why some of you are still in some incredible battles physically and in other ways. But don't give up, because we are so close to some incredible spiritual. I don't know how fast the crowds will come in. Vision is first the crowds, but I'm talking about atmospheres. And there's a good atmosphere here tonight. There's a good atmosphere. But I'm talking about thick. I'm talking about walking in the door and saying, I don't care if there's 5 or 10 or 100 of us, thick presence. And that's the abode. That is the place that Matthew 14 and 15, 16, that Jesus was describing, that I will take up my abode. Positionally, that's the born again, but there's something far greater than that. That's a place for us to stay. And I think a lot of you are going there with us. Think not in the traditional way of witnessing evangelism. I'll bring forth the evangelism out of you that was portrayed in my son. But his place that fueled him was this place in which I'm soliciting continually and have been, to know me in this place and to be filled with my passion for the lost, says the Spirit of Grace. Hallelujah. So catch my heart was the title to this. Simple, just two paragraphs. Our vision is revival. Our vision is intimacy. We offer through this, there's 5 very important keys, or 4 if you combine meditation and assimilation of the word together. But there's 4 pillars among us that we often speak of: praying in tongues, fasting, worship, and the word. And by these, we've set ourselves on a course into revival. Now, the heartbeat of God is souls. We know that. We don't move fast enough for some people that are of, I would call them maybe in a very, not sarcastic, but a very honoring way, evangelistic approach. I don't know what we're supposed to do sometimes with people that have went someplace else, because we tell people, witness as you go. Witness. There's nothing about this pulpit that ever puts a harness on people, but we don't have a go now, like let's hit the streets tomorrow. There's a program. But ours is in a combination of Matthew chapter 28 and Mark 16, both. But predominantly that we are standing in a place of allowing the Holy Spirit to work His work in us, and out of His work in us, through intimacy, through the Word, all of this stuff that people want to see happen in evangelism, it's going to happen. Because there's going to be an atmosphere that says, what must I do to be saved? And we're going to be telling them, here's what it is. And there's two ways to catch fish. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying, and if people, if we're not the road that people want to be on, I always encourage them, find that place. But this is us. And I guarantee you, in the end, we'll be right there with them. We'll have our day of harvest. Intimacy is the hour that we live in. We're going to hear this. We did Bring Me Gold Sunday, and I had this intent. This is from the 2020 prophecies. If you'll just give it a listen, I think it'll be good for all of us. And praise the Lord. I think they have that ready. For many of you, saith the Spirit of grace, for I'm saying unto you, in your spirit, that compass that is beyond all reason, it's beyond the mind, it's deeper than intellectual thought. The cry of heaven is for you to come away. Come away with me, saith the Spirit of grace. To you that are hearing this cry, to you it feels like there's a desire inside of you. You'd just be satisfied to go and sit somewhere and exhaust yourself in prayer, praying the mysteries until nothing was left, hour after hour, moment after moment. This is the cry that I'm giving to the church that has ears to hear. Come away with me, my beloved. Come away with me. For I must woo you into a place of intimacy to have you as the forerunners to this great outpouring. Will you do it? Will you come away? Will you find that private place and that corporate place to seek me and to sit and come away? Will you push back the hours and find room for me and sacrifice time? Will you find the way through my wisdom to steal moments and time to pray and intercede? For I'm laying on my church, male and female, young and old, a desire to pray, a desire to intercede. Even those who do not consider themselves as intercessors, I'm laying upon you the burden of intercession. For did I not say that my yoke is easy and my burden is light? There's a refreshing in this burden. All who take it on, all who receive it and embrace it, find life, saith the Spirit of the Lord. There is a death to the flesh, but a life to the Spirit. The trade-off is beyond measure, saith the Spirit of grace. The trade-off is beyond measure. Seek me. Find opportunity. Find excuses to steal away and sit with me and pray. So much depends on you. You've not even yet realized how much depends on you. You've not yet realized how jealous I am over you. I'm very jealous in a godly manner over you, saith the Spirit of the Lord. For I've birthed you for this reason, and therefore, like a mother that would protect her children, like a father that would watch over and keep back that which would come in to molest and to destroy, my spirit watches over this place and all other places where this cry is going out and where ears, spiritual ears, are being able to hear these things, saith the Lord. I'm very gentle with those. I put on your right hand and on your left bumper rails to cause you to be able to know yes to this and no to that, because all things, though they are lawful, they are not expedient. Though many things might be permissible, they're not expedient to you that are hearing this cry from heaven. Come away, come away, come away with me, my sons and daughters. Long after lust after, with a godly lust, with a desire that exceeds all desires in this earth, to know me in intimacy. There's a reward for you. Not just in heavenly places and times to come, but there is a reward, present tense, saith the Spirit of grace. When I wrap my arms around you and use you in intercession to change many things in the days ahead, when you watch these things, I'll witness to you on the inside, your prayers did these things. Your prayers opened up an avenue for this one to be healed and that one to be delivered and many things to be set in the progress of this outpouring. You'll rejoice. You'll be exceeding glad when others can't understand your joy. You'll be like a mother that gave birth. Both male and female, you'll understand the joy of giving birth. I've called you. I saw you before you were born, having a timelessness in myself. And I desired many, many to go this route. But by your own election, you've chosen. So I come to you with a jealousy. I come to you with a desire, and I'm placing that desire stronger and stronger inside of you. Pecaroso. Mega lo crocete. Incredible gladness is in front of you in the days ahead, saith the Spirit of grace. You'll be glad for every moment that you fought back the temptation to quit. You'll be glad for every moment that you walk past an offense that could have diverted you from the right hand to the left. You'll watch the children come in, the little ones that'll be healed. You'll watch people from all walks of life come in and be healed. Yes, the children coming out of the groves, coming out of the pastures, coming out of places of obscurity, you'll watch them be healed. And you trade another 10 lives for more of the opportunity to give yourself over to this divine intercession, saith the Spirit of grace. Intimacy is the hour that you live in. I call you. I call you apart. I desire you as a jealous husband with a godly desire
for that which he has received, that which has been given to him. My Father has given me my espoused bride, and I'm very jealous over you. I hold you with the greatest regards. I nurture you wherever I can, and I fill you wherever I can when you give me this. Come away with me. Come away with me, my bride.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Intimacy of the hour is the hour that we live in. You know, Pastor Dave, Gary came here in 98, I believe was the first time, and then he always be my buddy for believing in us enough to come down here when nobody knew who we were. And then gave us a shout out to Pastor Dave, and he came, I think, the following year. But then Dave came twice, sometimes every year. He would come here then, scheduled, and then when he would come to Norville's in Crystal River, he would come down. But he would begin, so one of his first few times, he prophesied. It was in this building, and a small little building. He said this place would really... it would become a hub for revival, and people would come here from all over the earth to witness this revival. So part of that is through our streaming now, but there'll be physical people coming. When we came out here 27 years ago full time, you know, it was just two-lane highway coming in here. Now it's changing all the time, and it doesn't even look like the Immokalee that we came to. And what's going to happen in the next 10 years? Hey guys, come on in, man. I'd love to add. You got anybody else in the parking lot? Man, just I don't care what time you get here. Just come on in, man. It adds to the fun. They work so hard, and they're a long ways off or a good ways off. But yeah, it was like. And I remember, and it's so amazing, I think the Holy Spirit brought that one term up when this prophecy came in October 30th, 2019, children coming out of the groves. I heard Dave say they'll come out of the groves. And that's just not obviously what's in the, we're not just talking about, he's not just talking about the orange groves. It was indicative of all this area. And all walks of life. And so things are changing. The next 10 years, if you're, you know, if God doesn't move you someplace, the complexity of Immokalee, based on where it's been and the people that are moving down here, it's going to change. And it's all for, Ralph told me the other day, well, you caused it, you know, all these people coming in, we caused it together. If you go online, Google, and look, that there's 5,500 and something acres, Gopher Ridge, it's all for sale out here. They're selling this. Probably going to put a city in there. This is all going to change. I mean, you're not even going to recognize it in 10 years. But it's all for the purpose of revival. I don't like being crowded in. I'd like to stay country, because country's cool, right, Jasmine? But man, I'll bite the bullet for Christ. You know, hallelujah. Well, every once in a while we'll run up to Blue Ridge or something. I don't know. Hallelujah. But you know. I got a scripture here so we know, feel like we've been to church. But people all over the world are being blessed. And I'm going to read not now, I don't have it. And I've yet to even answer the email. I've got to do that, maybe even when I get home tonight. But some person that watches us in New Zealand said how they have enjoyed the Discerning of Spirits series, but they gave a testimony of something that was really critical, and God used the power of those messages to bring forth deliverance, some kind of immediate healing and deliverance. And they're over there in New Zealand, and just they were listening to those messages, and God took the message in one of those messages and just quickened it and brought forth an incredible work. So praise God. So we don't realize, we'll be back on that Sunday as far as I know, and we want to talk about a number of things. I don't think Sunday's going to end it, but we'll talk about stigmatas and then things that we don't consider stigmatas, but other stuff in the church. You'll be interested. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 for just a little bit. I am probably going to give you Harry's time back here in a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. Man, that guy did a great job. I'm so proud of him in a good way. I probably have to apologize to Mike Church because I always tell him, you know, 8:30, buddy, 8:30. And at 8:30, Harry was just getting started. Hallelujah. Let's just look at, where do I want to start here? Because this is all about where we've been these last two services, about intimacy and fellowship and where it's taking us and part of this outpouring. What things were gained to me, verse 7, Paul said of himself. Again, remember, he's writing, or I will remind you that he's writing most of this epistle. This is one of the, they call it the prison epistles. He wrote a number of his epistles were in prison. This one historically was referred to by some as the epistle that was written at least in part in the prison, a part of the prison called the Tullian Keep. And we won't go into all the history on that, but that was probably the worst of the worst of dungeons that was in Rome. And it's amazing some of the things that Paul says in Philippians. It's called, Philippians is the supposedly referred to as the joy epistle. And Paul is showing the joy of the Lord in the midst of an incredible place of imprisonment. But he says here concerning his own life, but what things, verse 7 of chapter 3, were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And yes, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And he is not talking about an external knowledge of things about Christ. He's talking about knowing him, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And he's talking about all of his past. This is a brilliant man, and I don't know, you know, some say he may have been being groomed for the high priesthood in Jerusalem. That's possible, but he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he had all the credentials, and he was very, very, by his own testimony, very zealous towards becoming one of the top lawyers of his day. And so he's talking in respect that everything that he in his past life of what he once was, as in prestige, he turned that all over and he counted it but dung. Interesting word there. Some say rubbish, but it can even be interpreted what we understand as dung, and that's a probably an apropos term to be used when you're in sewage, as some historians say that he probably was, at least during some of this writing. And it says here in verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now this is the part that you've heard me speak on so many times and recently just wrote a letter about it. And if there's anything that I would say that is of essence to keep the main thing, this would be it. This was Paul's heartbeat, and he says this, that I may know him. And I like to break this verse up in at least four different places. Number one, or four different perspectives. That I may know him. That I may know him is not a knowing him as in just revelation knowledge. It's knowing him in intimacy. I think if you check this out, it would go back to the roots of knowing him in the same intimacy of marriage between a man and his wife, that I may know him in the fullness, that I would know him in all the terms that we've come to love and appreciate face to face, that I would know him in come away with me, that I would know him in the intimacy of spending time and fellowship with him, so that who he is, we become that. We don't know something about Christ, but we become Christ as in knowing him. And he says this, and first part, know him, and the power of his resurrection. So everything that the resurrection set us free from and gave us the right as sons and daughters of God to walk in, that he wants to know him in the power of that resurrection. But it's amazing to me, and I don't think it's just that he was not, you know, wasn't careful about his verbiage or what he said. I think this is really his heart. Number one, I want to know him. And from that comes all of the experience of his resurrection power. From that comes the walk of the Spirit. From that comes the walk of power. And he says here that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, you're not going to walk with Christ very long that you don't fellowship with not his sufferings as in going to die for the sins of mankind, but that you're willing to lay down your life. And the definition of laying down your life is really graduates the further you go on this walk. It really does. It goes past, now these terminologies for anybody that's just listening for the first time or new to this may say, what are you talking about? But it goes past killer sins, deal breaker sins. Those are not necessarily even defined like that in the Bible, killer sins. Deal breaker sins. We're talking about the things that if you do those things, if you continue to do those things, and there's a number of places that almost reads like triplicates, you know, three different places. And then there's numerous other places, but there's a list of different sins that Paul talks about, primarily Paul. Peter goes into it as well, but, and James, but there's a list of sins that if you continue in those, it not only will it's not just affects you, it will affect you, but it has the potential to totally destroy the inner man, to cause that which is light to eventually return to darkness. But to know him and in the fellowship of his sufferings, the power of his resurrection, and then the fellowship of his sufferings goes way past. It's not grueling to us. It should not be. To the revivalist to live above killer or deal breaker sins. Now I know there's part of the church that's coming in and maybe I don't still part. That are struggling with their flesh, I would say this, continue to bite the bullet, fight the good fight, sweat great drops of blood if you have to, not to sin, Somebody said it's a fight. Well, praise God, keep up the fight until the desire goes away. That's called mortification. That's called suffering until and speaking the. But here's the beautiful part about that. He says that out of this fellowship of sufferings, being made conformable to his death. Now, a living dead man or a living dead woman who is made conformable to his death, they're not concerned about external things. And the temptations of the flesh, you'll always be flesh, and you're never free from that. But the threat of it and the pressure of it to a dead person. The example is you could, you know, and maybe this is not a real tasteful example, but if there's a corpse up here, you can, you know, nobody would. But if you had an enemy, you can stand up there and you can curse that corpse all day. You can call it every name you want to. It doesn't care. It really doesn't care. In the same way, the living, and this is what really Paul says here in a moment, where we become a living corpse or we become a living dead man. Because he says here that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. That is what we want to do. That's what we're seeking after in all of this that we speak about and listen to Blueprint Prophecies, encourage you to spend time, is that that place of intimacy is also, it's also a place of mortification. It really is. You know, for such a long time, I think for years for myself that I equivocated or thought, okay, praying in tongues and fasting, those are the two mortification twins. And they really are, I mean, in a certain sense. I mean, to get stuff out of me that I knew wasn't entirely pleasing. You know, if I'll just fast, it'll get that stuff out, and it will. It'll die. But there's a, I'll say it like this. Let me see how I can say it. There's a diehard. I think that was a movie, right? There's a diehard, and there's a die easier. Intimacy increases the grace for death. So it's not, it takes away die hard. I've died hard at times, and it's grueling. And during that time, you get an attitude, and you have emotions. But if there's anything that we need to add to mortification, it's intimacy. Because Paul starts out this verse with the first of four and says, the first thing I want to know before I get to resurrection power or death by suffering, I want to know him. And if I can use that, just that play on words to say this, Paul, you're teaching us something about yourself, but as I can promise you this, I can promise you this, and all of you have found this out, intimacy makes it easier to submit, to say yes. It is, you can realize there's stuff in you that needs to die, all kinds of things. Faithlessness. There's something that's, the believability factor that we believe that what we say is going to come. Well, there's things in it, But how much more will intimacy add to the dying process? How many would rather die easy than die hard? I know myself. And I'm learning that I'm getting past places of submission. And I'm not talking about, I hope you're not reading into this, that pastor trying to get place, past a place of sin, but just giving myself over. There's a willful. You can fast and you can willfully confess. And those are all really good. You can walk the floor for 10 hours and confess yourself in to a position, and don't use confession, because that's one of our major parts. But if you want to die easier instead of dying hard, or if you want to change things, I think Pastor Dave said, after he really got into worship, he realized he could have shortened a lot of places in his walk had he learned intimacy and put that in with the other praying in tongues and confessing of the word. So I don't mean to belabor it, but I believe that's what we need to hear. But he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And of course, I wish I had the Amplified on this. I mean, I know it, but I wish I could read it. But anyway, it's not talking about the resurrection of the rapture, or the resurrection of us being changed into the image of Christ. This is talking about, actually, the Greek says an out resurrection or a living resurrection, that while you're in this body, you've been resurrected. So it's a living dead man, or a dead man that's living out, not out of his life, but out of the life of Christ. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Thank you, Paul. That makes me feel better. But I follow after that which I have apprehended. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Well, every single one of you have been, if you're watching or you're in here, you've been caught. Okay, you've been apprehended. So however you got here on this path, he's the one that brought you here. And you have been handcuffed. You have been, and so he is not going to let you go until we go, all of us go in together, and all of us are in different places. But he's, again, as a father, getting over to us on a Wednesday night, and last Sunday just took me out. I couldn't go back into discerning of spirits, to reiterate, stay in there and stay in the place of intimacy. And don't make excuses, but whatever you can, because, you know, I'll say this again, the enemy says to all of us, or those that are watching, if you can't spend 8 hours or 4 hours or 3 hours or however, whatever that stigma is of thought, then you're not doing anything. Do what he's asked you, and he will increase it. I said to him sometime a little while back, I said, I want to increase this. And he said, well, be extremely, I shouldn't tell you this because then you'll hold me to it. So why are you having me tell our personal stuff? He said, be extremely faithful to what you're already doing, and then I will increase. You will increase. It'll just, so I'm not wanting to become a hermit and forsake my family and gatherings and those kind of things. But this thing's got to be birthed. It really does. And it's worth it. It really is worth it. Hallelujah. So he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, a living resurrection, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself having apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. And part of this word, you've heard me say this before, is the word to press away or to persecute towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. And he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if in any, I like this. So Paul's saying this, I will press. It is the word press, and it is the word pursue. You'll see that if you look this up in a Greek dictionary. But you'll also see the word persecute that goes right along with it. So he's talking about something very adamant, very, very adamant. He's not talking about being mean to people or being belligerent, but he's talking about having a determination. Now, you can get legalistic where you're like, you can't do anything, or you can't, oh my God, I didn't get my hours in today. I don't feel the favor of God on my life. And, we live by grace. We're living inside of him. And he's the one that's helping us do all of this. He's the one that's, once you step into this bubble room of his love, all mortification. I love the term. You asked for a title. I think the real title of tonight's message is Die Hard or Die Easy. So you can die hard or you can die easy, but the die easier, there's always a dying. But if you're happy and joyful about your dying, you're either drunk on drugs or filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And like, oh my God, I am dying. I just, something came off this week and man, attitudes are gone and depression and fear and anxiety and all kinds of stuff. And listen, I'm not saying, because we're fixing to go into, fasting season, the first of the year. and a lot of you do that during the year. And that's kind of been a continual thing for a lot of people and us. But don't wake up in 25. Don't wake up in the middle of 2025 and say, wow, where's God going? Run into it now. Be wide awake going into 25. Don't try to catch up like, oh, I need to start thinking about really getting close to God or doing some fasting or doing. Come on, man. Trump's team's already ready to hit the floor. I mean, he's got his team assembled. He's got like 30 people like, okay, we're going to. And, I don't want to get off on that, but I like some of the advice that Elon's given him, because he's such an eccentric and he thinks so far out of the box. He's telling the president, look, he goes, choose the people that will go in and blow it up. Whatever their office was, just blow it up. I mean, not literally, but just so change it that it doesn't even look like anything ever like it ever was before. So that one guy, Cash, is that the guy that's going to take over? He goes, he was talking about, he wasn't even chosen then, but he goes, what I'm thinking about doing is going in and just absolutely shutting the FBI building completely down and making it some kind of like a museum or something. And then he said, I'm going to send those 7,000 agents out and say, go catch bad guys. You be cops now. You can't come here and, And some of you work at home, and that's fine, because that's fine with your business. But there's like thousands and thousands of government people that they want to come to work, and they don't. And now they're telling them, you know, Elon and them guys are telling them, look, and they're all upset because they're saying, he's telling them, if you don't come to work 5 days a week, unless you're like, if you don't show up, and they're going, you mean we're going to get fired if we don't show up for work? What? So we got to blow it up in the spirit. And we got to hit 25 going in and saying, hey, no, 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 no. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And this is what he said here. He said, and if any other, I like the way he says this. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Well, I like that. So he's saying those that are mature, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, okay, if there is something that's hindering you, he'll reveal it to you. He first calls you mature or perfect in that sense of the word. But the assurance of that is this: if you'll go in and have this attitude that he's apprehended me. Okay, so my life has been apprehended to turn myself over to him. It's the best life possible. It's the happiest life. It really is. He doesn't take anything away from you. He adds to it. The joy of your children, the joy of marriage, the joy of family, the joy of everything is just accelerated. It just goes into another place. But he says if we do this, whatever is stopping us, he'll reveal it to us. And you know, you don't have to gruel on that. You don't have to, oh God, what is it? So it'll just kind of be like, you just know, and then the other part, it'll be easy, easier. Die hard or die easy. I like that. Hallelujah. Wow, if I stop right now, I'd give you back Carrie's time. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Glory. We got a lot to look forward to, right? Father, we love you. You are so good, and we're so thankful for the path that we're on. Intimacy is the hour. And Lord, we thank you for the goodness of the Lord, because, Lord, you're teaching us how to go in and make it easier through this path so that we're able to complete our journey. We bless those that are here with us tonight, and we bless those that are watching. May the power of God bring us back Sunday, and we give you all the praise and glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We will see you Sunday. If you have an offering, you can give it at the door. Amen.